The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, here we are on the second day of practice of the theme of this week, which is cultivating peace. And this week we are exploring five flavors of peace. Yesterday was the flavor of joy. Today, during the meditation, we touched on inviting tranquility and then radiating peaceful tranquility. So I'd like to start today with Gilbert Fronsdal's translation of a poem of awakening by one of the elder nuns at the time of the Buddha. Her name, Sama, means peaceful. And she says, "In the 25 years since I have gone forth, I do not know if I ever obtained peace of mind. I had gained no peace or control of my mind. Then, remembering the conqueror's instruction, a sense of urgency arose in me. Being devoted to vigilance in regard to all suffering states, I reached the destruction of craving and accomplished the Buddha's instruction. Today is the seventh night since craving dried up." So it's 25 years of a wild mind and then diligent practice. She was practicing diligently with her wild mind, but without much success, without much gratification. And at last, the sense of urgency that, okay, better get down and do this. And then the being devoted to the vigilance of all suffering states, watching out for those suffering states. And doing that, she reaches the destruction of craving. And when craving is destroyed, that is full liberation, Nibbana. And she ends by saying, "Today is the seventh night since craving dried up." So this is usually when a practitioner becomes fully awakened, they become an arahant. The step after that is that they know that they are fully awakened. And then here she's saying, it's been seven nights since the craving dried up. So it's interesting that Sama refers to the Buddha as the conqueror. And in a way, it may be, we may find ourselves in a situation like that if our mind is totally wild and we really almost need to do battle and have a tremendous amount of courage. And then I jokingly might suggest that I'm sure none of you have ever had a wild mind, so maybe this isn't really pertinent for you. But we're human, and our minds do run off. And when they run off, they're usually looking for something that reinforces our sense of identity, our conceit, and giving substance to the armor and the baggage of a self. So 2 days ago on Sunday, Gil gave a talk on reactive and emergent modes of being. And the Buddha often made a distinction between the non-spiritual or worldly mode and the spiritual or non-worldly mode. And the Pali words for these two modes are sahamisa and niramisa, which literally mean of the flesh and not of the flesh. We could also say carnal and not carnal. And we could also call these modes the karmic path of clinging to samsara, as opposed to the dharmic path of liberation. The karmic path, the one of the flesh, is characterized by the reactive mind, which gets triggered by our worldly experience. And our reaction is often one of four states. It could be others, but it's often fear, desire, aversion, or confusion, depending on our background. And we're tied up tight in these states to the wheel of samsara. We're stuck. We're limited. We're confined. But the good news is that there is another mode, the spiritual mode, which rather than coming at us from the outside, it emerges from a place deep inside of us. This alternative of the dharmic path is our birthright, when we can be attentive to our experience without reacting to it. When we let go of our preoccupations and trust in mindfulness, simple receptive awareness, we become available to the present moment experience of the world without needing to change it. So rather than living in the abode of a reactive mind, suffering, we place our trust in the non-reactive states of the dharmic path, quiet, tranquil, spacious awareness. And we choose the path of freedom. As I said yesterday, we are constantly coming across forks in the road. And we can practice mindfulness from a place of freedom, a place of stillness. So when we get settled and the mind is quiet and still, the quality of our mindfulness is wide open, clear, fresh, nourishing. And this receptive awareness can be like we become like a calm, clear lake with the peacefulness and the tranquility arising as a spring into the lake from below. So we saw that Sama, whose name is a nun, the name she was given was Peace, and she practiced for 25 years with the torment of a wild mind. But eventually she was able to put into practice and fully accomplish the Buddha's teachings, and she became fully awakened. So don't despair if sometimes you have a wild mind, if peace seems impossible. There's hope for all of us who practice sincerely. And there's plenty of room for slow bloomers. And I speak from experience. It may take time, but we all have exactly what it takes inside. When the aspiring Buddha was sitting for 7 days with tremendous conviction on his seat of awakening, his Bodhimanda, he was accosted by the tempter, Mara, who did all kinds of things with throwing arrows and charging him with beautiful women and charging him with elephants, and trying to convince him that he had no right to become awakened. And the Bodhisattva's response was calm and unreactive. He radiated tranquility. And he reached his hand down and he touched the earth. And the earth confirmed his right to complete liberation. There were earthquakes, flowers fell out of the sky, and the earth let Mara know that there is no hope for Mara. So I think this, the image of touching the earth as a simple reminder that we belong here. We belong on this dharmic path. And if we ever have any doubt about that, oh, we can just reach down and touch the earth. I'd like to read you now something from the Zen teacher, Joko Beck. She writes, as we sit, we find that the primary thing we must work with is our busy, chaotic mind. We are all caught up in frantic thinking. And the problem in practice is to begin to bring that thinking into clarity and balance. When the mind becomes clear and balanced and is no longer caught by objects, there can be an opening. And for a second, we can realize who we really are. So it's a long road for many of us, dealing with the reactive, chaotic thinking mind that's always looking for entertainment and reinforcing the delusion of self. But the beautiful thing is that knowing that we're on the right path can give us the strength, the faith, the confidence to stick with our practice day in and day out. And eventually, things ripen. And we become less and less interested in selfing, in me, myself, and mine, and all of the incredible suffering we create when we do that. It alienates us from everybody in our life. It alienates us from ourselves. So it's a wonderful thing to know that we often, in our meditation and also during our daily life, are at a fork in the road where one fork goes towards the karmic path of samsara, suffering, and the other fork goes towards liberation on the dharmic path. So maybe over the next 24 hours, you might reflect on what you've learned from your own practice about quieting the mind. And then try out inviting tranquility. And if the mind does have the clear receptive awareness, you can experiment with radiating tranquility to the people in your life and radiating it out as far as you'd like it to go, making it available to all beings everywhere. Thank you very much for your practice.